Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Time to talk more hockey with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior NHL writer for them. Brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. Greg, what's going on?
What's going on, everybody? Well, I mean, what's going on is that the New York Rangers have released a letter to their fans again, letting them know that the retool is on. You know, if you do this twice in the same decade, I don't think that's really great news for your franchise. And here we are with the Rangers basically, you know, announcing they're going to punt on the season and talking about the difficult decisions they'll have to make going forward.
But Greg, they're not rebuilding. Just remember that. They Chris Drury said it's not a rebuild, so everybody should be okay.
No, man. It's a retool. And so we've had a lot of different vocabulary words around the NHL recently. The Vancouver Canucks, as you know, they were retooling before they were going to go into a hybrid rebuild. And now I think they're just straight up rebuilding. But listen, you know, when it comes to the Rangers, like, one, it's hard to rebuild when you have some of the contracts that they have on their books. I mean, they're going to be able to get rid of Panarin. My understanding is that, you know, they don't intend to offer him a contract extension. He'll probably be traded before too long. You know, they could probably find a way to get Zibanejad off their books. And then, you know, I think Vincent Trocheck is probably the other really interesting name that could become available, just because I think he's such a Swiss Army knife of a player. You could see a contending team maybe want to dive in and bring him on. But I mean, like, you can't rebuild when you've got one of the best goalies in the world on your team, and yeah, Shcherbina's not going anywhere. So that's kind of the issue for them right now, is like, you've got to retool, because as long as you have Shcherbina, as long as you have Adam Fox, as long as you're stuck with JT Miller and do have some good young players coming up, like Will Cooley, who's already on the roster, and Gabe Perreault. I actually think retool's probably the right word for it. Partially because of where they are and partially because of what they can and can't do with that roster.
Do you know, here's the thing, because we were just talking about this, of our afternoon show had the discussion, could Nashville sports fans handle a rebuild? And my answer to that is yes, because the Titans have basically been doing it without meaning to do it for the last, I mean, you're a Jets fan, you know how this is, for the last like 3 or 4 years. The Predators, you know, David Poile had the phrase competitive rebuild, which everybody kind of gave him crap for. Barry Trotz has, I think, tried to do a little bit of both at the same time, you know, adding young prospects, adding draft capital, while also trying to be competitive at the same time. And right now, you know, they're doing it. But, you know, if we're all if we're being realistic and they make the playoffs, I don't see you beating Colorado or Edmonton or Vegas in the first round. So it is kind of a catch 22. It's a tough position to be in, but you know, people that run teams don't want to admit it's a rebuild, because 9 times out of 10, they're not the ones that get to enjoy it once it's done.
Yeah. I mean, your last point's the most, I think, salient point is the idea that when the rebuild's done, the person doing the rebuild might not be there, whether that's the coach or the GM. And, you know, when it comes to the rebuild, yeah, you know, it's funny. I do think that the Nashville market is one that will understand a rebuild and be down for what it takes to have one. And we can say that until Roman Josi is a Blackhawk.
Yes.
Right? Like until you start to feel the real pain of what a rebuild looks like, because a rebuild is not keeping around, you know, defensemen that are over 30. Like, a rebuild is not, you know, having Philip Forsberg teaching the young rookies how to fashion a good-looking mustache. Like, a rebuild is a deep cut, and it means that your favorite players are no longer on the team that you love. And so, like, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of markets that are going to be down for a rebuild that maybe management doesn't believe that they could be down for a rebuild. But when you get down to brass tacks, when you get down to what the functionality of a rebuild looks like, it does become kind of a different animal than just talking about it in sort of the hypothetical.
So here's how I view Nashville right now. I think unless you are and look, the market for Ryan O'Reilly could be big. I mean, they could get an offer that you just absolutely can't say no to for him. And if that's the case, then you have to have that conversation. but I'm not doing a whole lot to add anything. I would try and move Marchessault if I could. It hadn't worked. He's not a fit. You got to admit that at some point and see what you can get for him. And then whatever happens after that happens. You make the playoffs, great. Give it a shot. You don't, then you don't. But I'm not giving up draft capital or young prospects to add anything to go on a run.
No, and I don't think they should. I think what they've done to salvage this season and to make things interesting has been really impressive. And if nothing else, at least gives Barry a little bit of like cachet insofar as I'm not the disaster you all think I am as an executive. Ultimately if they make the playoffs and just become a sacrificial lamb for the Colorado juggernaut, I mean, somebody has to. There are teams currently that are like, I don't want to be in that business. I think St. Louis is primarily the one I'm thinking of here. But you're right. I mean, I don't think that they should be buyers. I do think they should be sellers, especially when it comes to O'Reilly, because I do think that there are a number of teams that see a player like that and believe that that's a final piece of the puzzle type player. I mean, selfishly as a Devils fan, when you look at their center depth, adding Ryan O'Reilly would be astronomical for their playoff chances, I think. I think you're right on that score. It's like they shouldn't be buyers. They should be sellers, and they should maximize the return on these guys as much as they can.
Greg Wyshynski is here with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Greg, going into the Olympic break coming up, what team, I guess, benefits going into this break when it comes to trade assets along with rest?
Great question. I mean, I think rest could do a good amount of help for a team like Dallas that I think has been fighting through some injuries here and there. And I think probably has some holes to fill before they can actualize as a real contender in the Western Conference. There are some teams in the East that I think, Ottawa being one of them, that could probably use a little bit of a reset. And also try to figure out exactly what the Linus Ullmark situation is for them. He's an extraordinarily important player whose absence has led to a good amount of drama and controversy in the last couple of weeks for them. But overall, I mean, like it is such an interesting dynamic to think about this break coming up and what it does mean for teams, not only that are struggling, but that are hot. I mean, like if you're the Buffalo Sabres and you're just like a steamroller right now, like the last thing you want is the Olympic break. You just want to kind of keep this thing going. And so it's going to be interesting to see who rolls into this thing with a little bit of momentum and who comes out of this thing still playing well or losing that mojo because of the break.
Hey, when I tell you this right now, Greg, hold your britches when I say it. The Colorado Avalanche are 2-3 in their last five games. Isn't that crazy?
I know. This is they fire Bednar. You know, like they've clearly lost the thread. They're just a ridiculous team. I mean, like, and what's scary about them is that some of the pieces that weren't really working earlier this season, when they were still a juggernaut, now are working. I think Brock Nelson, in particular, was a guy who didn't have a really good start for them, and then has come back and been exactly what they've needed from a second line center. Probably like the best solution that they've had since Nazem Kadri left. And I mean, they're just scary good. I mean, up and down the lineup and probably only going to get better when that front office, which has shown itself to be extremely creative and have a real knack for making the right move at the deadline, gets a chance to dig in and make more moves.
What do you see out of Colorado right now when it comes to making moves at the deadline? What's a name to watch out for them?
I don't know if I have a name for you, to be honest with you. I mean, I do think that if there is a flaw on that team, it's probably in their bottom six. I think they can be a bit more effective after you get past the top two lines. You know, whether that means bringing in a veteran, whether that means bringing in some, you know, low cost, high return analytically help, I don't know. But to me, that's kind of where I'm looking in that lineup to really fill it out. Is probably in their bottom six, because again, when the goaltending is healthy, it's fine. Their top six forwards are amongst the best in the league, and obviously what they do on defense all comes from Cale Makar on down. And the way they play is just overwhelming. I do think there's room for improvement in their lineup, but not much.
Greg Wyshynski is with us on Chasing Big Joe. Dean Evason shown the door in Columbus. Rick Bonus comes in off the TNT set, which I think is interesting. They were bragging about their coaching record from former analysts on TNT. But what did you think of that move?
I mean, I'm thinking of a different coaching tree, which is the last guy who coached the Winnipeg Jets and then quit ended up winning back-to-back Stanley Cups in Florida.
Yeah.
So get a guy who was coaching the Winnipeg Jets and quit and then see what you end up with. I mean, you know, Evason, from what I heard, kind of lost the room a bit. You know, he's not a bad cop necessarily, but he's certainly a guy that's a demanding coach. And I do wonder ultimately if his interpersonal connection with some of the younger players on this team wasn't where it should have been. And obviously when it comes to Rick Bonus, despite the age disparity between him and like an Adam Fantilli type, I think one of his real superpowers is that personal connection that he grows with players. And look, I mean, this guy's only a few years removed from being, you know, up for the Jack Adams for what he did in Winnipeg as well. So he's, you know, he knows how to coach a good system as well. So, you know, the problem in Columbus, you know, beyond whatever was going on with Evason, has been they've had one good goalie this year. That's obviously not on Bonus to fix. That's on management. And then their third periods have been like horror shows, like, you know, The Conjuring, like just this grisly, nasty stuff. And so if they can fix that defensive deficiency, then it's going to mean good things for them in the standings. And obviously already we're seeing a little bit of upward mobility for them after this change.
Do you think before the break we're going to see another coaching change somewhere? And if so, who would that be?
Oh, man, good question. I don't know if we'll see one. I mean, I think a lot of these teams, I wasn't surprised it took us this long to get one because there's so much parity in the league. And at one point, there was only six teams in the NHL recently that were under 500. I mean, like the amount of teams that feel like they're in it and that feel like they're, you know, within striking distance of a playoff spot tells you that there probably isn't going to be a large influx of coaching changes. I will say though, that the fact that we're going to have a trade freeze or a roster freeze coming up at the Olympics, I think is the inflection point that you need to start seeing some movement here. And, you know, one name that I'm well aware of, and I think a lot of people are well aware of right now, is Rasmus Anderson with the Calgary Flames, the guy that they've been shopping for the better part of a year and a half. It kind of feels like that's going to come to a head in the next few days and maybe within, you know, the couple of weeks before the Olympic break. And he's an interesting player. I mean, I think Dallas has always been a natural fit for him insofar as what they need on the blue line. I think Boston might be aggressive in trying to get him. There's a number of Vegas is another team. There's a number of teams that I think are going to be hot for this guy. And I think as we look at where Calgary is in the standings and with, like I said, the pressure point of the Olympic roster freeze coming up, I think a Rasmus Anderson trade is probably going to happen sooner than later.
All right, so follow me on this. Take all the bias aside. I think the Preds steal one in OT tonight. I really do. I just got a weird feeling.
You know what? Listen, you got to trust your gut sometimes. You know, it's the same reason I bet the Jets to win the Super Bowl before the season. You got to trust your gut. You can't think about what the odds makers are telling you. Who knows? I mean, it's the joy of this dumb league, right?
Yeah.
One is anyone could beat anyone else on any given night. And the other is that despite the fact that the numbers have kind of come back down to earth a little bit, we are seeing more games than ever in the shootout era go past regulation. Now, the amount of those games that are ending in the shootout is a little bit high for your boy because I do hate the shootout with every fiber of my being. But the number of games that we're seeing go past regulation, I think that last check, it's like 26% of games are going past regulation to overtime. And then once you get there, you know, all bets are off. I mean, once you start playing in that 3-on-3 where one missed shot could all of a sudden lead to, you know, 2 minutes of pure chaos. So, you know, the OT part of your prediction is what intrigues me. But again, like in this league, any given night, anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah. Well, and I'm with you. I'm not a fan of the shootout. I'm not even a fan of the 3-on-3. Like, I'd be old school and play until there's a winner. But I hate ties, and ties should not exist in pro sports. So that's kind of the give and take there.
I just think they should expand the 3-on-3 by a couple of minutes. Like, just do that and maybe implement some rules that make it more of a half-court game. I mean, like, I was watching the Devils the other night win in overtime, and, like, twice in overtime – they pass the puck back to their goalie. I'm like, okay, Russian Red Army team from 1978. Like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like we can make some rules to make it so you don't do that.
Yeah.
And once we do that, I think we can recapture some of the magic that we all liked about the 3-on-3 earlier.
But you could also do this and go to a different point format instead of just settling for the 2 points and have 1 point apiece. Go to a soccer format, and if you get a win, you get 3 points. And then the team, you know, if they go to overtime, it'd bring more incentive to teams going for it later on in the like last 5 minutes of the third period.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir, man. That's been a plank in my platform ever since they instituted the shootout. The idea that we don't value the first 60 minutes of a team game more than the gimmickry that comes after it is mind-boggling to me. And to me, it's like, if you've got a chance to get three and the team you're chasing can get none, like, imagine how intense those games get as we get later on in the season. So you don't have to convince me. I'm a 3-2-1 guy. Unfortunately, the guy who needs to be convinced, Gary Bettman, is not.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate thing. Greg, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to some of that coming up next. Sean Henry at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.